Habitual Radio Newsline report number 2197 with the release date of Friday, December 6, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. In Australia, vandals hit radio equipment aiding firefighters. YOTA month expands into the Americas, and Newsline announces the winner of its International Newsmaker Award for 2019. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2197 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story this week is the ongoing bushfire devastation in Australia. One vital team suffered a new challenge with its radio equipment, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
As bushfires continue to threaten parts of Australia, the Northern Tablelands team of the New South Wales Rural Fire Service suffered a serious setback. Vandals struck a portable radio repeater trailer that firefighters and aircraft depend on for vital communication links. Radio equipment and numerous technical and mechanical components were stolen from inside the damaged trailer, which had been deployed southeast of Nimboida. This has kept the trailer offline, placing fire crews in even more danger as they push back against the deadly blazes. The Nimboida fires are some 400 miles north of Sydney, capital city of VK2. As police continue their investigation into the vandalism and thefts, one woman announced on Facebook that she had combined her holiday party with a fundraiser to help with the losses. She reported on the 1st of December she'd raised nearly $1,200 at the event. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Amateur Radio Newsline proudly announces the winner of our newscast First International Newsmaker of the Year Award, a group that has consistently shown leadership and commitment to the ham radio community. Here's Ed Durant, DD5LP, with our deserving winner.
What began 26 years ago in West Bengal, India, as the result of one ham radio operator's commitment to community service and safety, has blossomed into a powerhouse radio team of 285. The West Bengal Radio Club helps with critical communications during cyclones and earthquakes, reunites despairing families with missing members, transmits election results from rural polling places, and teaches farmers who cannot afford lightning arresters to build their own life-saving devices. Each January, they also serve as a safety net for the tens of thousands of Hindu pilgrims who travel to the Bay of Bengal and the River Ganges for the Holi Mela festival. Most recently, they helped put a stop to signal jamming that was blocking deep-sea fishermen's access to essential broadcasts of cyclone warnings. Remarkably, the club accomplishes most of its operating simplex. Ombarish Nog Biswas, VU2JFA, said the club's most urgent need is for a repeater. They have no money, no budget, and oftentimes members borrow equipment from the National Institute of Amateur Radio, a large non-profit club in Hyderabad. We called Ombarish Nog Biswas, the club's founder and secretary, to tell him the club is this year's International Newsmaker Award recipient, and here's what he had to say.
We are also very much happy to say that we will do from the land of Jagadish Chandra Bose. We are promised we will do something for the mankind using our radio hobby. Thank you.
Congratulations to the West Bengal Radio Club from all of us at ARN. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
The popular 12 Days of Christmas on-air event is back, and operators are getting ready. Jack Parker, W8ISH, gives us the details.
The 12 Days of Christmas are once again going to bring 12 days of QSOs as last year's popular holiday event returns for its second year. Sally, K2RYD, and Lou, N02C, are preparing to go back on the air along with many of last year's operators from New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Oregon, Arizona, and North Carolina. Be listening for 12 days starting on the 14th of December for such call signs as W2P for partridges and W2T for turtle doves. You will hear them on single sideband, CW, and satellite modes. Then wait to unwrap your own holiday gift after January 1st, when a special certificate will be available for you to download. Organizers are proud of last year's total of 12,200 contacts, but hope to surpass that number this year. Additional details are available on the QRZ page of K2RYD. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
A respected leader in the Arizona ham radio community has become a silent key. Mark Kiesauer, N7KKQ, died on Thanksgiving Day, November 28th, of brain cancer. Mark was perhaps best known among friends and fellow hams as an active volunteer with the Amateur Radio Council of Arizona, having held almost every board position as often as needed. In 2004, he served as the council's chairman. He and his wife, Chris, N7PVL, who is the council's treasurer, shared the council's Ham of the Year award in 1999. Mark was also well known for doing what needed doing, whether it was to serve as an awards coordinator, announcer, coordinator of volunteers, or working on Wi-Fi and PA systems. He's also credited rebuilding the council's first Prowler trailer. Newsline extends its deepest condolences to his family and friends. Another influential amateur and a leader at the ERRL has become a silent key. Paul Rinaldo, W4RI, died on November 29th. Paul had been a leading voice on the global stage in amateur radio and was responsible for establishing the ERRL's Technical Relations Office in 1992 near Washington, D.C. In 2004, he became the league's first Chief Technology Officer, a post he held until his retirement in 2008. For years, he was a frequent face and voice at ITU conferences. He was also a board member of the United States ITU Association. The Virginia resident, who was first licensed in 1949, was 88. When is the right age to become a ham? Ask the newcomers in this new report from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Amateur radio is as ageless, it seems, as the rookie radio operators it attracts. A recent report in the Courier newspaper in Iowa notes that Jane Buck of Cedar Falls recently passed her general class exam after three very earnest tries and now shows off her call sign, KE0RKO, on her car's license plate. She was inspired and encouraged by her son, Wayne, KE0GTF. Jane Buck, rookie radio operator, is 78. Meanwhile, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, 9-year-old Sayondra Scarborough and 10-year-old Jawani Laidlow became the Southern Caribbean nation's youngest candidate to pass the technician's class test after completing a one-week series of free classes from the Rainbow Radio League and partly sponsored by the National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission. They were among 13 licensed candidates in their class. Like Jane Buck, these amateur radio candidates also had their share of encouraging words throughout the process. Veteran hams stopped by during the 1 week of training to give moral support and cheer them on. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
December is the month for celebrating young operators on the air. While plans are underway for Region 2 Youth Radio Camp this summer, young hams are already tuning up this month, as Paul Brown, WD9GCO, tells us.
The Youth on the Air organization is growing every year. This year, it's even bigger. Newsline's own Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, is organizing a Region 2 YOTA camp. And our 2018 Young Ham of the Year, Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, is very much involved in this month's event, as he explains.
I am currently the YOTA Month coordinator for Region 2. Region 1 started the YOTA Month activity in 2013, and they've had a very successful program of encouraging youth to get on the radio, especially during the month of December, which is commonly known as Youngsters on the Air Month or Youth on the Air Month. This year, since the announcement of Youth on the Air Region 2, we thought we would join Region 1 as well as Region 3 and have a joint special event operation that involves youth from all over the world. And so the goal is mainly to get youth on the radio. Youth is defined as an operator under 25 years old.
Rascal explained that since we cannot use four-letter suffixes here in the USA, they have four separate one-by-one calls, each with a letter that together spells out YOTA. You can find out more at the website, yotaregion2.org. That's with the numeral 2. We encourage everyone to try and work all of the stations involved in this month's event. All of us at Newsline would also like to congratulate Bryant on achieving the level of Eagle Scout, earning it with a service project that includes amateur radio. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K8SCH repeater of the Okayin Amateur Radio Society in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Organizers of this year's Jamboree in the Air have released their report for participation in the United States. Bill Stearns, NE4RD, tells us more.
This week in Radio Scouting, the 2019 U.S. Jamboree on the Air report is out. Based on the 201 station reports received following the event, 9,106 scouts and 4,677 visitors participated this year. The collective totals show a slight decrease in overall participation. However, based upon the lower number of reporting stations, this is an increase in participation at event stations of 24%, or 13 more participants per station. The highlighted station report comes from WN7BSA station, where they had 140 Cub Scouts and 85 Scouts. They operated two HF stations, three 2-meter stations, and one 33-centimeter station. Only a few contacts were made on 20 meters, but 40 meters was fairly active. VHF and UHF contacts through the local repeaters made up the deficit, but the real star was D-Star through the KR7ST repeater in Sahuarita, Arizona. See more of this report on the K2BSA website. The ICOM America ID51A plus 2HT prize was selected via randompicker.com and goes to Robert Crow, K88CDC, who was the control operator and reporter of the K2BSA Portable 8 station. Congratulations, Robert, and thank you to ICOM America for supporting scouting. For more information on this and radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
From New Zealand comes another cautionary tale urging tower safety. Here's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the North King Country town of Otorohanga, the collapse of a ham radio tower on the 1st of December left one person trapped, according to local media reports. Police and four fire engines responded to the scene, according to Fire and Emergency New Zealand. There were no further details about the collapse or the person involved, but according to media accounts, by the time the emergency personnel arrived, the individual was free. Media reports said that a St. John's spokeswoman reported that they received a call for someone who needed treatment for moderate injuries. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Newsline again reminds all hams doing tower work to observe safety procedures and not to work alone. There's good news for hams in the Philippines. It's a period of amnesty to let them register their equipment. John Williams, VK4JJW, has that story.
The National Telecommunications Commission in the Philippines is giving hams with unregistered repeaters, mobile radios or portable radios and HF rigs a chance to register them until the 23rd of December without penalties or surcharges. A November memorandum from NTC officials offered guidelines for those wishing to come into compliance with mandatory national registration. Under this amnesty program, the equipment can be registered at any NTC regional or district office or during any mobile licensing activities. The equipment must be owned and operated by those holding a valid license to do so. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Contesters in Spain just got a welcome approval from authorities about their call signs. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has that development.
Don't be surprised if you hear a ham from Spain calling QRZ and his call sign has a single letter suffix. The Spanish Amateur Radio Union, or URE, recently secured approval for amateur radio operators to be granted call signs with a suffix containing a single letter. The announcement in late November on the URE website marks the successful conclusion of the Radio Union's 5-year battle with the Grand Directorate of Telecommunications and Information Technologies and the Ministry of Economy and Business. Meanwhile, there is disappointing news from Switzerland, where the National Amateur Radio Society, the USKA, learned of Ofcom's rejection of its request for a ham radio call sign for trainees. The Swiss proposal is modelled after a system in Germany that allows trainees to gain on-air operation experience under supervision of their mentor, who holds the training license. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP, and holder of the DN5LP training call sign.
There's a new name among the notables in the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, has those details.
His years of contributions and hard work have earned Ed Fraser, VE7EF, a place in the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. The West Vancouver ham was appointed by Radio Amateurs of Canada's trustees for his long record of service to the amateur community. He co-founded the British Columbia Amateur Radio Coordination Council and has served it both as director and officer. He's also been RAC director for the British Columbia and Yukon region and chairman of the RAC's Administration and Finance Committee. Ed also has been president of the UBC Amateur Radio Club and the North Shore Amateur Radio Club, NSARC. Ed was also a former employee of British Columbia Telephone Company and former chairman of the Vancouver chapter of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. For 8 years, he had chaired the Board of Trustees for the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame, the very entity, indeed, where his name will now be listed among so many others. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Gerard F2JD will be on the air as HR5/F2JD in Honduras from December 12th through to April 4th. Listen for Gerard on 160 to 6 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. Send paper QSLs direct to F6AJA or via the REF Bureau. Logs will be posted on the LNDX website. Brad, VK2BY, will be active as HS0ZNR from Thailand between the 14th of December and the 8th of January. Listen for Brad on 80 through 10 meters using SSB and FT8. QSL to VK2BY. Brad will upload his log to ClubLog and LOTW. Harald, D42WO, is on the air from Burkina Faso through the 20th of December. Listen for him as XT2AW on all bands 160 to 6 meters. Send QSLs to M0OXOOQRS. Members of the Hope Hill Contesters group are using the call sign TO9W from St. Martin in the Caribbean through the 13th of December. Send QSLs to W9ILY. Matt IZ4YGS will be on the air from Ghana until the 28th of December. He is using the call sign 9G5GS on all bands 160 to 15 meters on FT8 and SSB. QSL to his home call. If you're a DXer, the date of December 11th should have a special meaning for you. In our final story of the week, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, explains why.
Happy 98th birthday to DX! No, that's not someone's initials. You all know better than that. It's the long-distance communications so many of us can be found chasing late at night or in the early hours of the morning, even from mountaintops and lighthouses. It's been a feverish pursuit for so many radio amateurs, especially since December 11th, 1921, when the first Transatlantic Tests event was held, pushing the limits of amateur frequencies. The idea was to see if low-power stations could get their message across the ocean and into Europe. Yes, it worked, didn't it? Radio Club of America Station 1BCG in Greenwich, Connecticut, made contact with Scotland. To mark 98 years of mostly good DX since then, the ARRL's station W1AW at the Newington, Connecticut headquarters will operate on December 11th from 1300 to 0100 hours UTC. Teams of volunteer operators will help commemorate the milestone while underscoring how radio can connect us, wave by wave, in the United States and Europe. Operating frequencies will be posted on the message board and on web-based SDR at k3fef.com/8901. Be listening on that day for two other initials. CQ. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the Courier, CQ Magazine, The Guardian, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, K2BSA, New Zealand Herald, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com Forums, Radio Amateurs of Canada, The Searchlight, 7 News, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all for the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline. online at arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019, all rights reserved.